This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Jerusalema, ikayalami, ilondoloze, uhambe nami, zungangishilana. Jerusalema, ikayalami, ilondoloze, uhambe nami.
Good dancing this morning. Welcome back to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio, your place for fresh news, smart talk all day. You hear that song playing in the background. This is a small tribute to a most amazing and wonderful woman who has just passed and left us on this earthly realm. I want to say good morning and condolences to the Fernanda family on the passing of Mrs. Leona Jane Brown Fernanda Samuda. You hear my voice cracking a little bit, right? See, I was a Chicchani catcher. I just practice magic. But sometimes the universe is practice magic on you. And I was fortunate enough to be in the most magical place one day at the farmer's market, when the DJ started playing this song, Jerusalema, and a phenomenal woman, Mrs. Bazard, Kent Bazard's mother, who's a dancer, came out onto the grass and started dancing for us and called all the people into the grass to learn the dance moves, right? Because she had them down pat. And while we were dancing, Miss Leona Jane Brown Fernanda Samuda, known as Auntie Jane, bust on the dance floor and started doing the dance with us. And it was in that moment that the whole farmer's market came alive, right? In fact, a young lady, a very shy young lady, decided after seeing Auntie Jane on the dance floor that she too was going to try learning this dance. You could see she really wanted to learn it. And she started dancing, and her father, who was standing there watching with pride, and I'm sure he was so happy to see his shy little daughter burst out of her shell, even he decided he's coming on the grass dance floor to cut the rug with us. I don't think anybody who was present that beautiful Saturday will ever forget that afternoon we had that was lit up by Auntie Jane, Mrs. Leona Jane Brown Fernanda Samuda. Now, I don't know her well enough to really properly call her my auntie, but I know the people whose lives she's touched. And you could see her joy for life in them. And so I just want to say again, thank you to the Fernanda family for sharing your precious gift with the rest of us for all of this time. Good morning to my listening audience. It is Wednesday, the 16th of June, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. I have some more little housekeeping to do before we get into the show. I also want to send a shout out to another phenomenal woman who comes from a phenomenal family. I want to say good morning to one of my favorite audience members, Ms. Claudia Ferguson, daughter of the legendary Mama Co from Johnson Road, right? If you grew up in Johnson Road like me, Mama Co's was the spot. I risk so much cut behind on my little bicycle, riding out of my neighborhood where I wasn't supposed to go, just to get the cup and the baggie and the salty. In fact, this is the first place I ever had cup and baggie and salty. It's a beautiful place. In fact, Johnson Road is a beautiful community. And Mama Co and her family are part of the reason why Johnson Road is such a beautiful place to live. It's the home of the Justice Todd, where every piece is a corner. You can't beat that. In fact, no FNM or PLP promise could reach that. Ain't nothing they could tell you better than that. Every piece is a corner. And I can tell you a little secret. I only can say it once. These people still giving you more than three fritter for dollar. Huh? That's justice. Anyway, I want to say good morning to Claudia Ferguson, to Miss Maureen, to Mama Co's family, and to all of the wonderful people who've been keeping Johnson Road alive. I got a message to share with you from another listener who was tuned into the show yesterday when I was talking about the incredible, mysterious film from Disney called Luca. And I was just drawing a sort of comparison to a Bahamian folklore or mythical animal called the Lusca, right? Well, the caller messaged me yesterday, the listener messaged me yesterday to tell me that I got a couple of things wrong. The first thing is this. It's not pronounced Lusca. It's pronounced Lutzka, as if there's a T in there, right? Lutzka, that's the proper name. And this person grew up in Andros, grew up there. And they said that I shouldn't trust necessarily what I read on Google, right? And they said that really, they first heard the story as a bedtime story when they were growing up in Andros. And it was told, this story was told to them repeatedly by friends of the family who worked on the waters in Andros around the blue holes. And I want to say to that person that just sent me a text on my private line, I cannot read the voice message. I have a feeling that it's a very important message, so I am going to ask you to type it out for me. Now, that person told me that they really think this is a real myth, unlike the Chicchani, which I know in my heart is a real animal. The person messaged me back to say to pronounce it Lusca, not Lusca, right? Anyway, still working on that. But I believe the Lusca is real as I am, and as real as any one of us is. In fact, we got to start believing in ourselves more, Bahamians. Don't let other people believe in us more than we believe in ourselves. And in honor of that note, I am changing my name. I am changing my name to Aaron Jimmy Buffett Green, right? Because if this boy could land a private seaplane on Junkanoo Beach to roll up to his new investment, then darn it, I'm just going to have to invest in a helicopter so I could land at the chicken snack when I'm ready for lunch. So I could land at the passport office when I need to get in front of the line in a hurry. Right? So I could land at the Junkanoo parade if we ever going to have a Junkanoo parade again. But that doesn't matter because I could do whatever I want once I believe in myself. And somebody sent me a message saying he had to have permission. Well, he better have had permission. I'm sure he had permission. I don't think an established businessman like that would risk good relations with a country that he's made major investment in by doing something as reckless as landing a seaplane on a beach that is frequented by tourists and locals alike without alerting the authorities of that action. I'm sure he alerted the authorities. I'm absolutely certain. There's no way he could have done that without alerting the authorities. Now, which authorities he alerted, we don't know. But I want to say good morning to the officers that made their way quickly to that plane. I mean, they was on it. There was no slipping up, no slacking off, no nothing. And I would say good morning to those officers that were doing a wonderful job. Got a couple more little housekeeping notes. I want to make mention of a meeting I think is going to be really, really interesting, is important for people to tune into if they have an opportunity. And I want to mention it in this space of Men's Health Month. And I want to encourage young and older men alike to engage this discussion. It is the Bashra's monthly membership meeting, and that's the Bahamas Sexual Health and Rights Association. And the theme for their meeting tonight is the critical state of comprehensive sexuality education in the Bahamas. And they're asking us to join them for a thought-provoking conversation with Adolescent Health Unit Lead Counselor Tyrone Johnson. And the meeting starts at 6 p.m. tonight via Zoom. And I'm going to share with you just quickly the meeting ID, if you're going to use it, 815-7293-0769. But you can also go online to the Bashra page on Facebook and find the information necessary to join the discussion. I think this is a really important discussion. I would really like to encourage older men. I want to encourage older men to join the discussion and share, if there's a space to share, about the experiences they had growing up and the state of their sexuality education in the Bahamas. I think young men really, really, or younger men, absolutely need and deserve to hear from older men about their experiences growing up, becoming men, entering adulthood, becoming fathers, coming into their sexual beings. These are the types of rites of passages that we should be focusing on in our country. Another note, I want to point out that the University of the Bahamas' Tamarind Journal is now accepting submissions for the 2021 edition called Scrange Fruit. And that's S-K-R-A-N-G-E, playing on a common Bahamian pronunciation of the word strange. And this year's journal explores the world's events that have forcefully shaped the season's harvest. Submit your unpublished creative works, including short stories, personal essays, poetry, song lyrics, interviews, and other written works. We also welcome illustrations, paintings, sculptures, photographs, digital images, comics, and mixed media. Now, these guys are saying the submissions are only open to UB students, faculty, and alumni, right? I, as a proud dropout of UB, encourage everybody to flood them with submissions. And maybe they'll do a non-student edition as well, because I think this is such a wonderful topic. And the entries are due July 31st, 2021 at 11:59 p.m. And you can see the website for more details. And that website is tamarindjournal.org. Tamarind like the sauce. I see we got a caller on the line. Arlington, let's get to that caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
A godly day to the stock in the waste along with you, Aaron.
Good morning. Blessings to the things seen and unseen.
Well, much the same to you. Many happy return to you.
Absolutely.
But what I'm curious. Now, is this plane in which came on the beach, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Did that glide on the waters before it got onto the beach?
Yeah, it's a seaplane, right? So it have, I think they call them pontoons.
Yeah, but tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose supposing somebody was underwater swimming like I usually go on, out there and does.
Well,
you know?
I saw that there was a harbor patrol boat on the scene, right?
Uh-huh.
So I imagine that on an announcement of arrival, the harbor patrol was sent out to that site to clear the water and ensure that area was safe for landing.
I got you.
Yeah. I mean, the harbor boat was on it.
Okay, I got you. But the thing is, you know, there was a place on East Bay Street opposite the East Bay Street Parade, just a little past the police station out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just before you get to Portiski.
You mean Arawaki?
No, Portiski.
Okay.
That's East Bay.
Yeah,
where the bridge and stuff at.
Uh-huh.
Just before you get to the bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know they used to land there, but the thing is nobody used to be swimming in that area.
Right.
So it wasn't dangerous for them to land there.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would go back to that area because, you know, if they're going to land, on Junkanoo Beach, they're going to be inconveniencing the swimmers and stuff
and
like
tourists.
That. And somebody, you know, an accident can happen.
Yeah, there needs to be a specific area designated for seaplane landings only.
Very much so.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, that little thing was important to me. Not so I could make fun of... There you go. Not so I could make fun of Jimmy Buffett, you know. But because, you see, traffic enforcement is a serious thing. And that's traffic, too. That plane, that's traffic, too. From cabinet ministers to judges to even Jimmy Buffett, it seems like we may have a problem with our traffic enforcement. It's to the point where it seems as if people are driving as if they now recognize some new right to run the light. As if there's some sense of entitlement that I can go because I am here. And in fact, that's exactly how these people operate on the road. I can go because if you go at this point, you will hit my car and be responsible for the accident. I just want to say, you're all some smart people, you know. That's a smart observation. But why don't you use your powers for good instead of evil? That's all I'm saying. And I got one last thing to touch on before I move on to my guest today, who is Miss Simone Bowe from the amazing event Men Speak. And in light of June being Men's Health Month and Sunday being Father's Day, I want to continue a conversation about men's health and wellness, and today from a woman's perspective. But right before I get to that, I got one last story in the news that I want to touch on. Good morning, Honorable Parkesha Parker Edgecombe. Sorry for mispronouncing your name several times. Ms. Edgecombe, I think you should ask these people if they brought you into the cabinet as a scapegoat, because this headline, government considering scrapping plan to erect more domes, is extremely problematic. Now, I don't have the time to get into it today. Also, I don't have all the data I want to have this conversation, but there's some very important things I think you, the listening audience, should focus on. When you pick up your Guardian newspaper today, or you head onto the Guardian website. In this story, Ms. Edgecombe is quoted as saying, "As you know, the DRA, Disaster Reconstruction Authority, is now in the works with trying to introduce a 100-unit rental specifically for our government workers in that area too, because essential services are also very integral." Well, first of all, Ms. Edgecombe, who was supposed to know what? As you know, who were you talking to? Were you talking to the reporters? Were you talking to fellow cabinet ministers? Were you talking to members of staff at the DRA? Who is supposed to know that y'all are now in the works with trying to introduce a 100-unit rental specifically for our government workers in that area. And what is there to know? Did you actually tell us anything just now? Anything? Well, let me tell you why this dome situation is so important and requires immediate attention. First of all, the suggestion that to allow your citizens to infer from your statements that, you know, the Mabaco people should have figured it out by now. Why are they really waiting on us to build domes for them now? Well, here's why it's important. First of all, the government has never properly addressed or created or presented a policy for resident resettlement in the island of choice or of birth. People didn't leave Abaco because they wanted to. They left Abaco because they could not live there at the time. They have a right to be given every option available to resettle. And that you indicated that you had a plan and that you had the resources and the money to execute the plan, and it is still not executed, requires a national response, a national statement, not just to the people who were displaced in Abaco, but to the entire country. And here's the second point. There's this tricky issue of voters' rights. Don't people who were displaced by Dorian, don't they have a right to be returned to Abaco and to vote there? Doesn't the government have an obligation to use all of its resources to facilitate the resettlement of these displaced people? To create a policy or procedure to facilitate people who want to return to Abaco to be able to return in time to register? This ain't just about some lazy people who don't want to spend their money on rebuilding their home. These are serious constitutional issues. And we expect you all to focus on them. Seriously, prioritize them. These are people's lives we're talking about. That's what it is. It's people's lives. I got two texts, and then we're going to go to a break, and I'm going to introduce my guest. My first text this morning. Morning, you can do what you want if you are Caucasian and rich in the Bahamas or any country they are in. Now, that's a very bold statement. I don't have enough time to explain how race and ancestry are different, right? Like how your race is white, but your ancestry is European descent. How race is a construct and ancestry is real, and how we should focus on that, right? Also, race is a construct that changes over time, geography, and culture. So in the 21st century, right, this construct of white also includes an element of wealth. So you could be not white and be wealthy enough to be able to enjoy white supremacist systems. Another text, my, the power of money over the third world plantation. Did the blood-drinking police search them or cleared customs? They could have been carrying cocaine, heroin, or diamonds, man. Just yachts pulling up by Atlantis, no customs. Well, those police officers in that video were on it. That's all I could tell you. They was on it like they was wearing a bonnet. In fact, I want to tell you, I wanted to crack a joke when I watched them running in the sand with their heavy uniform on and all the equipment. Don't watch nothing. They was on it that day. But you're right. We do have this weird, weird system where it seems like anybody who could wear the label tourist is prioritized over the average person on this plantation. But they call that plantation model tourism. Anyway, Arlington, I think it's a great time for a break. I've been housekeeping like I like housekeeping, like I trying to attract a man or something. Ah, boy, let's get to that break. And when we get back, we're going to have this wonderful conversation about Men Speak with Simone Bow.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021, for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rocks are 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Lock it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021.
Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Remember, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can also listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612, or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices. And listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Text us on the Guardian Radio text line at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. And to my audience listening on Facebook, I am sorry. I am not sure why that video ended, but I have restarted it, so you could switch back if that's your preferred method of tuning in. Now, for a message from the Department of Inland Revenue, it's time for the 2021-22 Annual Budget Bites. To spur investment and boost economic development in the Southern Islands, the Accelerate Bahamas plan creates tax-free zones for residential and business development projects on 11 family islands, namely Acklands, Andros, Cat Island, Crooked Island, Inagua, Longkey, Long Island, Mayaguana, Ragged Island, Rumkey, and San Salvador. 0% VAT on conveyance transactions under $500,000 and duty and VAT concessions on the full range of construction materials. Tax breaks on business license fees and real property tax. This message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Good morning to my guest, Simone Bow. How are you? Good morning, Simone. You still there? One more second, Arlington. Is Simone in the Zoom room? Oh, man. I am so sorry, guys. Okay. So Simone is going to be back with us in a second. Well, Simone Bow is a local, Simone Bow is a local life coach and a phenomenal woman. I haven't been able to pin her down long enough to get her full personal and professional bio, but I am hoping she will share it with us when she gets on air. The event I wanted to speak about is called Men Speak. And I don't know much about it, except it was a very popular event that brings together men in the community to speak to issues concerning men primarily. And I think the audience is an all-woman audience. And so they've created a format to help men and women engage each other on the most important issues at a time where it seems like men and women can't stand each other or don't know how to talk to each other or are constantly at war with one another. Arlington, she's in yet? No? Well, she's online here. I'm not sure what the problem is. Simone, Can you hear me? And let me, in fact, Arlington, can you give me that telephone number? I think it's 328-8855. All right. So, Simone, if you can hear me, the number to call in fact, I'm going to send it to you via WhatsApp. If you can call in, I would really appreciate that so we can continue the conversation. I can see that you're online. Absolutely. And I got another text. Simone Bow is the Limitless Life Coach. She's a human resources professional, life coach, singer, and author. And I think she's a magical woman because I want to know why it is the men's them trust her. Right? Why they trust her to help them engage the issues that are important to them and are important to other women. I see we got a caller here. Hopefully this is Simone. Ah, that deadly silence. Good morning, Miss Bow. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Were you waiting on me?
No, listen, you don't watch nothing. This is going to be such a good conversation. Because let me tell you why. I don't know if these people really trust me when I say I love man.
I don't see why not.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm Erin Green, the gay rights advocate, the woman who...
I know.
One of the first women who boldly come out and say, I love women. And I think a lot of people felt like that meant that I don't love man.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I think that sometimes people that advocate for certain things tend to give that impression through their behavior, you know? But I think anyone that advocates for the rights of people should love people, regardless of their gender.
Right. And there are a lot of, I'm not blaming people because there are a lot of lesbian advocates who really do sort of push that persona or that idea that they don't, or they don't, and they express it, we don't like men. And you even see people joking about ridding the world of men. And so I think that's a great place to start. How do you think men feel when women say things like that, even if they just joking?
They feel really badly. You know, I started on this journey several years ago, really in my personal journey. Because, you know, whether you are lesbian or heterosexual, we all interact with each other. You know, and we have different types of experiences in those relationships. And so I could say that I had several that were not positive. Yeah. And again, that could give reason to say, well, I don't like them.
Yeah.
You know? But I realized in my own journey, in my own healing, that there's a gap and we are all accountable for our behavior. And so it really caused me to self-reflect and think about how do I contribute to this. And when I did that, it made me listen to men more. And it's amazing what happens when you listen to men, because then you start to hear, they begin to trust you with their feelings and their thoughts. And you begin to hear the stories, and they're really horror stories. Men are treated really badly. They're thought of badly. They're spoken of badly. They're spoken to badly. They are not given the benefit of the doubt in many instances. And it's challenging to be a man in this world.
Absolutely.
It really is.
And I think of that space when young boys are still primarily with their mothers, or it's a single parent run household. And what happens to the young boy who has to live constantly with a mother who is frustrated at the father, and they look just like the father, the little boy looked just like the father?
Yeah.
Right?
I've seen that, Erin. You know, I've done a lot of work with young people and in community work, and especially with underserved communities and marginalized communities, and it's sad to see it, but you do see that anger. It is very apparent. I remember one particular case. I was heartbroken. I'm telling you, I was serving as a case manager in a pilot project, and the mother, you know, the kids were, you know, they would get in trouble in school and all of that. That was the whole point of the program, right, to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mother came in, I think he got in problems at school or cut the program or something anyway, and she came and she just started to lay into him. I mean, just shouting at him, and you know, in the the way that we do in the Caribbean, right? We'll ask a question, and then when they start to answer, they shut up. You know, that kind of way, like, you asked me, though. Like, I'm trying to answer, and then you're still going to shut me down.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where that boy, he was like 16 years old, I think, and he just hung his head down, and the tears just started rolling down his face. And it just got to the point where we asked her to leave the room.
Yeah.
Because it was just so heartbreaking, and you could feel, like, if I were him, I would feel so much pent-up emotion in that moment, and you could understand why. It's not an excuse, but you can understand why sometimes people act out or don't act at all, because what do you do? You're powerless, right? You can't speak up. You can't defend yourself. You just have to suck up and take on somebody else's words of you that may not even be the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think mothers realize, and women who are not, and women in intimate partner relationships with men, realize how that formative relationship with their mother can impact them? And are women prepared to, or do they understand the need to give men space, or understand that there is a space there that men may need to process?
I don't think women understand men very well, honestly. And we see that in our various interactions. And this is the reason why I started the platform Men Speak, like I told you, out of my personal experience and recognizing that we need to listen more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think quite often, and even at the events, we would see that, you know, women would be amazed to hear what the men are saying, but there was always one or two who would get up and say, this is hogwash. This is a bunch of foolishness. Y'all only talking to hear yourself, right? This is not the truth. Like, come on, they're telling you. You know, this is what it is. And so that we have to break past. I think we have to unlearn a lot of the social conditioning around these male-female interactions and how we show up in relationships, how we raise our children. There are a lot of, I would say, limiting beliefs around it.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have to break them. For instance, men don't have emotions. So you can have a female child, a boy, a male child. Both of them could fall down and scrape up their knee, and their knee is bleeding. Mm-hmm. Who's going to get more of the attention and the affection of those two children?
Yeah.
Which two? The female, right?
Yeah.
We'll be all over that girl child. Oh, what happened to you? We can wipe that up. We can nurse that knee. We can give them a treat. I hope you feel better. Let mommy kiss it.
And then we can tell the boy, go fall down again so you can feel better.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What you crying for? That don't hurt. You better man up.
Yeah, that ain't how
you feel. It's well hard. You can't make it in life if you could be crying over every little thing.
Absolutely.
And then we turn around and we expect now for these males to show up in relationships as communicative, emotional beings. Yeah. How do you expect that if we're not raising them to be that? Or we're not allowing them to be that, because men have emotions. Men feel. We're human beings. It's a human condition to have emotions. It's just that women more naturally express them and are given more permission to express them in certain contexts.
Absolutely.
Where men are not.
Now, I have this text here, and the text says, I'm in my 50s. The older I get, the more I am attracted to women, especially shapely ones. I look, oh, I love my Bahamian women. Can you explain this? By the way, I'm actually not attracted to bony women at all. Right? Now,
okay.
I want to say this. As a society, right, are we putting too much pressure on men on young men to like us, you know, to like a certain type of woman? Because it's like a lot of women, Bahamian women, are big boned.
Yeah.
Many of us are Gussie Mae-ish.
And it's, yes, indeed.
Right? And it's natural for people to look for relationships that mimic their parents and partners that sort of mimic their parents, right?
Yeah.
Women are attracted to men that are like their fathers. Men are attracted to women that are like their mothers. Are we doing Bahamian men an injustice by creating this environment where they're supposed to like a certain type of cosmopolitan woman, and then we sort of laugh at them or make fun of them when the guy says, wait, look here, I want me a Gussie Mae. I want something to hold on to. I want to feel loved. I want to feel held.
Nurtured and... Yeah.
Is society creating a lot of rules and structures for men that just aren't real, aren't valid?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even when you think about the term, and I was doing some reading on it, this whole term of toxic masculinity, like it's such a weird thing because some of the things that they describe to me don't seem very toxic. It seems like the condition that men have to live in. But I think that, as you mentioned, these social constructs that men have to be aggressive or as a man, the only emotion that they really express is anger and aggression, hostility, you know, and that is deemed as strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these other constructs that, you know, you have to be competitive. You have to be with a certain type of person. You have to be in a certain circle. You have to act a certain way. And these are the things that are challenging when you have people that want to break out of that mold, and then they are shamed, they're blamed, they're called names, they're ostracized because of their difference. You know, and I'm not even talking about, you know, difference as far as orientation. I'm talking about you could have people diminishing you as a male in school for being smart.
Yeah. And they've attached this term, you know, that, oh, you're a sissy because you're smart, which is devastating.
You use standard English.
Yeah.
You know, so that means, you know, you're a punk.
Yeah. how do you expect a young person to develop in a healthy way? This creates a...
They can't. It's difficult. It's very difficult. And I applaud our young people. I think we don't give them enough credit. But I applaud them for the strides that they make in spite of the environments that we are in, because it's difficult. It's difficult for us as adults. So can you imagine, as you mentioned, in these formative years where you're developing, you're growing, you're taking in everything from your environment and you're trying to figure out, where am I? Who am I? Why am I? How do I fit into the scheme of this? And who do I want to be in this world? You know, what is this world all about? It's very difficult. And so I think as caregivers, as adults in this village, you know, we have to be the ones that nurture and help our young people develop effectively.
Now,
but again, we can't do it if we're broken too.
Now, look here, you said something so powerful that I think we feminists and advocates also need to explore. When interrogating toxic masculinity, and I'm sort of paraphrasing or what I got from what you said, it's important to remember that we're talking not about people, but we're talking more about the conditions that they learn, or, you know, how they are socialized in the conditions that they live in. And maybe what we need to focus more on is the toxic environment that masculinity develops in.
Correct.
Versus this toxic masculinity that people will infer you're saying just men are toxic.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But these are things that they're taught to exhibit to survive.
Right, right. And real survival, right? Not like not like me, can I make it out of my little, you know, cul-de-sac to go down the road to get cup. We're talking about kids who are 7, 8, 9, 10 and trying to figure out if they could go pack bags to make some money to feed their siblings.
Okay, then.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that real.
Absolutely. Look, I have a text here. And the text says, morning, Erin, how do you love men? Right?
Oh, Lord.
Well, and it makes me think, you know, men and women have different love languages.
Yeah.
And although there are different types of love languages, I think it's important to recognize that, of course, men love, they have emotions, mm-hmm. and maybe it's that what it is is that we love and feel differently, right?
Yeah.
Like how we express it.
Yeah, we have different needs and wants.
Right. So I have some neighbors, I have some male neighbors, I hang out with them a lot, right? And the way I express love to them is I show them, if you need something, I could help you out with it, right? Like,
right.
If you need a thing, I could help you out with it. I always share information with them, right? Like,
right.
They say, boy, Aaron, you smart, but you ain't gonna just tell me I smart. I share an information with you. I give it away to them, right? Mm-hmm. I love men by when I see young boy them on the road, whether it's school, after school, whether it's they supposed to be in school, but they not, I hail them up. I look them in their eyes. I say, good morning. How you doing? Stay safe. Be careful. Love yourself. I talk to them, and that's how I engage them. When I buck with the parking boy, and look here, the parking boy making more money than me, you know.
Okay.
When I buck with the parking boy, I always try to share something with him. Give him some information. Right?
Yes.
That's how I love men. And I love men by trying to create an environment where they too can live a life free of violence.
But see, again, this is another social construct that is challenging for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because you identify as a lesbian doesn't mean that you can't love men. Like, there are so many different types of love, as you mentioned.
Right.
You know, and the greatest of all is that unconditional love that we should have for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
It just means that you may not have an Eros love for them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you don't have the capacity to love them. I'm sure you have many, many male friends. I mean, like, come on, that's a very ignorant mentality.
And brothers.
I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, and brothers and cousins. But I don't think they were asking it like that. I don't think they were saying, you show how you love man. I don't think it was like that. But,
well, I hope not.
Yeah, but you know.
I got the benefit of the doubt.
I got plenty platonic relationships. I have familial relationships. And even, I can show you a vibe. Even when I feel attraction to a man, right? And even I say, oh boy. And when I was younger.
Yes. You
right,
could like, admire people.
Right, when I was younger, the way that I loved men was, especially as an out advocate, I would be honest with them. And I would tell them, look here, I don't know if you're ready to be in a relationship with me.
Okay. That's the truth.
And I love them by loving them exactly where they are and not
yep.
expecting anything more from them than what they have in them right now.
That's right, and that's unconditional love and an actual fact.
All right, Simone, we out of time, right?
Oh, man.
But you don't want to.
You got to do a part two.
Absolutely. And I think we may have to. I need you to find a man to bring on this show with us.
Oh, yes, I can bring one of my panelists.
Absolutely.
Be happy to come on.
Absolutely. I'm going to get in touch with you this afternoon about this rescheduling. Last
yes.
question I want to ask you. The audience for the event Men Speak, is it all women?
Actually, it's majority women,
okay.
but it's been the male viewership has been growing simply because they find an affinity in what the panelists are saying. And they're like, finally, somebody is speaking our language.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So listen, Simone, thank you so much. I'm just going to read through these last texts before I close out the show. And to my audience, just know that I'm going to have Miss Bo back on maybe even before the end of the week, because Sunday is Father's Day. And I want these boy them to know we love them. Because especially in this time of COVID and post-Dorian and the pandemic, everybody been out there, but men have been out there really working
That's
hard
right.
with this sort of societal idea that they are expected to provide no matter what. Right? So we're going to love them up a little bit this month and this week. So let me get to these texts. Aaron, good morning. Men can cry and have emotions, of course. God made us all with feelings. But most men these days don't have a father figure to show them how to be a real man, so they fall astray. Many men think women should be able to handle everything alone, raise kids, take care of the home, and work on top of that mother's baby, their boys too. No girl is good enough for their sweet angel son. It's us girls left to fend for ourselves. Mothers rarely... their baby girls, empathy is a missing factor in most Bahamian females' lives. We're also taught that crying is weakness, but we mostly don't resort to crime, so that, to me, is an excuse. We got to interrogate that text when you come back, Simone. Erin,
yes.
We are both a part of the human race. Men and women have feelings. Both men and women must respect each other. First, then, we must learn how to communicate and allow and give the personal space when truly needed. Then revisit when it is amicable. We must learn to love each other. I am a woman, and we honestly can be more than extra at times, and it is simply not sexy. Another text here. I'm just going
to
read them quickly because they're just coming in. Now, I am not going to read your text about the ideal woman. We can joke about that by ourselves. The men in my family love the thick Bahamian woman because you genetically predisposed to love yourself. That's what it means. Good morning, Erin, and to your guests. Don't worry about them. I work in a gaming business. The guys always teasing me, you like women. I told them I am a nun, and I don't want none. Ah, so she's saying that when she refuses sexual and intimate personal advances, they just assume that she doesn't like men. That's not the case, man. We could love y'all, but that don't mean we want to be with all of y'all. Don't mean we love all of y'all the same way. But
exactly.
But I ain't mad at you, because your job is to love yourself first, and your job is to know that you are lovable and that everybody should love you, but also to balance it with knowing that everybody is not required to love you. Anyway, Simone, I got to go because it's past 11 o'clock, and that means Levon Miller and Unleash is up next. So we
all
will
right.
talk soon. Have a great day, Simone.
You too.
Have a great day, Bahamas.
Thank you.